Mrajuhtuden.
Mrajuhtuden.
Waka! Welcome to the Anonymous Eskimo Project, a program where I have candid conversations with guests about difficult but important Indigenous topics such as mental health, sobriety, recovery, and missing and murdered Indigenous people. These difficult topics need to be brought to the light, not only to educate, but to uplift our Indigenous relatives. Oyana for joining me. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. On today's show, I have Lynette Deacon. Lynette is Athabascan. She grew up in Grayling and Anchorage, Alaska. She spent some time in Hawaii as well. Lynette represents strong, courageous Native women in sobriety. She is almost 3 years sober. And on this show, Lynette courageously shares her journey for those who are still struggling. So guys, please help me welcome Lynette Deacon. Hi, Lynette. How are you?
Hello. This is Lynette.
So can you go ahead and introduce yourself so our listeners can get to know you, please?
Yeah. My name is Lynette Deacon. I am 30 years old. I'm originally from Alaska. I was born and raised in Anchorage, but I was also raised in Grayling on the lower Yukon River, as well as the Big Island of Hawaii.
Are you Indigenous?
I am Athabascan.
Okay, cool. Can you go ahead and let everybody know what things looked like before you got sober?
So I was born in Anchorage and I was raised in the village. And so I had my first drink at the age of 11. But I believe my alcoholism started way before that. Since a very young age, I always felt uncomfortable. I had a rough childhood with a drunk mom and a gypsy soul of a dad, I guess I could say. You could say that. He was back in Hawaii with his wife, and I grew up with brothers. So I have all my siblings. I have 8 brothers and 3 sisters, and I'm the youngest. I've got my dad's kids, my mom's kids, and my stepmom's kids. My brothers became alcoholics at a young age, so I grew up in an abusive, loud, drinking home, alcoholic home. I was bullied a lot by my brothers. I experienced a lot of abuse. I basically had to learn how to survive at a young age on my own because my mom was always drunk and the brothers were always drunk. And we were either living on couch to couch or, place to place. I took my first drink in the village at 11. I don't remember very much, but I do remember the warm, fuzzy feeling when the alcohol went down my throat. And I knew that was my solution to the uncomfortable life that I had felt at such a young age. My drinking career started off in the village just because, in the village we have basketball tournaments and dance nights and stuff. And you travel village to village. And so the village, Grayling, we would have tournaments in there as well as Holy Cross, Anvik, and Shaglik. And my first drink was during a basketball tournament night. And I knew that was what I wanted. I wanted to continue drinking, especially during the cold winter nights. It gets depressing. It gets dark. It gets scary. And for a young girl like me, I always wanted to be a part of. I always felt apart from. And so drinking alcohol really helped me open up and become more excited about my life. And I felt like I had a voice when I was drinking. I struggled in school. I was jumping around between the age of 14 14 to 15 from my sister's house in Fairbanks to my mom's apartment in Anchorage to my dad and stepmom's house in Anchorage as well. I ended up in the crisis center at about 14 or 15. I got a couple MCA, which is a minor consuming alcohol ticket. I ended up in the McLaughlin Center at 15 for assaulting my stepmom. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. I was a very angry young girl. I was angry and I wanted to fight anybody and anything. I was just this angry little girl who was scared and I just needed to survive. And that's kind of how I look back on that. And I knew that alcohol was always my solution. Anything outward that could fulfill me inward, like, was my solution. If it was a person, it was a drink, or if it was drugs. I didn't grow up with discipline and love and nurturing. I didn't know how to, like, navigate through life as a young girl. So I just did what I could and kept going through the motions, and ended up going to school drunk, got kicked out of West High. When I ended up assaulting my stepmom at 15, I went to McLaughlin Center, got out, realized that I didn't want to end up in jail like my brothers. So my older brothers had started drinking at a young age as well. So I ended up falling in their footsteps and I thought, you know what? I don't want to go back to jail. So I wrote a long letter to my stepmom in Hawaii and I asked for forgiveness. And I thought moving down to Hawaii would, you know, change my life. And it did. It definitely did. You know, as soon as I got down there on my 16th birthday, soon after I met my daughter's dad, my ex-husband, I ended up having my baby girl at the age of 17 and getting married at the age of 17 in Hawaii. That changed my life for sure. But it was just a progression to my alcoholism and my disease. Looking back on that, I continued drinking after I had my daughter. I went to a crisis center down there before. I'm sorry, let me backtrack. Before I had my daughter, I ended up at a crisis center in Hawaii for my drinking. I was just getting fights. I've got stitches on my face and on my head, staples in my head. I'm just, you know, I'm a fighter when I drink. I just get rowdy, get mm-hmm. too rowdy. Mm-hmm. You know, the saying, you know, people drink till they're sick or whatever. I drink until I'm homeless. And that, yeah, I was just always in and out places, homes. So when I got to Hawaii and I was still struggling with the drinking and I had my daughter at 17, got married at 17, and I immediately had to grow up very quickly. I had a new husband, I had a new baby, and I was living in my first duplex apartment with my new husband. And looking back on that, I didn't even know how to be a young woman, yet let alone a young mom and a young wife. And that soon became too much for me, way too much for me to handle, because I didn't even know how to handle myself at that point. So I ended up, you know, getting a job, and, you know, the drinking resumed after I had my daughter. It's a progressive illness. So I just started progressing from 18 to 19. I left my husband. My drinking, you know, I became unfaithful due to my drinking in my new marriage as a young mom and wife. So I ended up leaving that and we separated. It started to get pretty nasty, the separation. I ended up, my daughter was 2 in 2012 or 13. I ended up coming home to Alaska on her second birthday, on the evening of her second birthday. And I just was so torn. I didn't know that I was an alcoholic and that I was, you know, being a wife and a young mom was getting in the way of my drinking. I wanted to drink every day. I wanted to get out of my skin because I just didn't know how to handle life. I come home to Alaska for 9 months. I believe that God sends me dreams and very vivid dreams, messages. And I didn't know who God was at that time. You know, I just knew that there was a power greater than me, but I just didn't believe in it, you know, wholeheartedly. I knew of it, but I just didn't know who that higher power was. And so I had a dream after being up in Alaska for 9 months, after my daughter had been turned 2, I had a very vivid dream that I needed to go back to Hawaii and fight for my daughter. And I did. All the while drinking and working, trying to save up money here for 9 months, I go back down there, and the divorce and custody battle start, and it goes on for 3.5 years. And during those 3.5 years, I'm trying to stay sober, but I'm also learning. I'm growing up a little bit there, here and there. But I'm also, my drinking is progressing. I'm trying to put on the face. I'm trying to, you know, look stable, and, you know, I'm trying to get back on my feet through the divorce and the custody battles. And it gets pretty dirty in those 3.5 years. But in the end, my daughter ends up winning, and we get custody of 50-50 of her. And she ends up, you know, she gets the victory of both mom and dad, equal custody. But that doesn't stop my alcoholism, right? My alcoholism is still progressing at 23, 24. I look back on it, I was bouncing from the bottom, from job to job, from place to place, always, you know, on opposites of with my stepmom. I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but I have my stepmom and my dad are in the program. My dad just made 40 years in November.
Wow.
Sober. Mm. Dave Roberts. You know, they're trying to, you know, nudge me in the right direction, and I'm just not ready yet. And you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make it drink it. And I was not ready to drink that Kool-Aid yet. And yeah, I'm just bouncing from on the bottom for quite a few years, and I'm getting older. I'm, you know, 25, 26, and I'm hitting my bottom. And I finally, it was March 2020, just before COVID started, and I was getting kicked out of a place in Hawaii. I was driving 2 hours to work from one side of the island to the other side, and I was drinking from the moment I woke up to the moment I crashed out and to the moment I came to again. You know, I had the outside issues, right? The drugs, and I was just trying to survive, and I was just missing my daughter, and I just didn't know how to navigate through life. I didn't know how, and wasn't willing to give up, you know, my freedom, which was, I thought was doing things when I wanted to do it and how I wanted to live my life. If that makes sense. I couldn't live under the roof of my stepmom and my dad and try to stay clean and sober. I wasn't ready. I wasn't willing. So March 2020, I'm jumping from couch to couch, and I get on the phone with one of my dear good friends. You know, I get on the phone with her, and I'm like, you know what? I need to come home. I need to go to school. I want to go to school. So I'm not, you know, working in these restaurants, and I get these delusional ideas that I can go back to school for free, and that, cause I'm an Alaska native, and I wasn't fully prepared for what I needed to do. I had this grand idea that I was going to become a successful person while drinking and doing what I wanted to do without a plan. And I come home March 2020, and I apply at Avtec, and my dream, this is like the beginning to the, my end, March 2020. And I apply for Avtec for, you know, the heavy equipment mechanics class. And, you know, I'm getting in, I'm trying to get into the class, and I'm doing this test, and my drinking just kicks off, and I meet my drinking buddy, and I ended up moving in with her, and we became drinking sisters, and the party just took off from there. Two alcoholics in their cusp living together are unlovely creatures. Mm. And we just both fed each other alcohol and character defects and, you know, problems day in, day out. And it just got worse and worse. I got to travel for the first time in April 2021, a month before I got sober. I got to travel to New Mexico with my sister. I was her nanny, and I helped take care of her, my nephews, and it was a family situation. Anyways, I got to travel out there, and, you know, the whole time I was out there, I wanted to have a drink. I was trying to take care of these little boys, and I was trying to help my sister. And I just always wanted that next drink, that solution, right? That was always my solution, to take that edge off, to take the anxiety away, and to bring me back to life. I could not function without alcohol. I got back from that trip, and immediately right after that trip, I got off the plane and I called up my friend. I was like, I'm home. And we picked up the alcohol, and I blacked out. And the day after that, started it again, and it just got worse. And I was mixing my alcohol, and I was drinking like hard liquor. I ended up, you know, going to jail for reckless assault, because I have an angry little young woman inside. You know, as soon as I put the alcohol in me, I'm, you know, put me back me into a corner when I'm blacked out, and I'm going to come out swinging. I believe I fought like five people that night before I got arrested. I spent, so 10 days was the longest time I've ever spent in jail. And that was my last 10 days in jail. And those 10 days were very important. I look back on it as very important to me now. Those are very long 10 days of being in jail and just having to reflect on, like, I deserve to be here. I deserve to be here. And I accept my fate. I deserve to be here because of what I've done. And I just got so, so sick and tired of living the way that I was living. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Was that, you know, and that was the best way I could have heard those words when I first got sober. I was tired of living the way I was living. I was tired of waking up hungover. I was tired of trying to keep that party going. You know, I have what is it called? FOMO, which is fear of missing out. And that I always had that before I started drinking, to when I, to the progression of my illness, and to even after into recovery. I always had to keep the party going. I always had to keep the drink coming. I always had to keep the drugs coming. I always had to keep moving. And so, being in jail, I didn't, none of that mattered. I just knew that I was tired of running. I was tired of fighting. I was tired of drinking. I was tired of life. You know, but I did have the thoughts of suicide and things like that, but I never went through with it. I just wanted to drink myself away, I guess, and run away. You know, I'm the fight and flight kind of girl. And so I get out of jail, and the first thing I do is I get out on May 25th or May 24th, sorry, May 24th, 2021. I get out of jail. And the first thing I do is I call up my friend and I'm out, and I drink one more time. And use one more time. That goes into May 25th, 2021. I'm at 6, it's 6 a.m. on May 25th, and I'm still going from the night before, after recently getting released. And I'm supposed to check into PED because I got released on PED, I guess, for this reckless assault that I had done. And I'm like, oh no, like I need to sober up. And I'm like, I accepted my fate right then and there that morning. And I'm like, I'm trying to sober up. I'm trying to close my eyes, and I'm like, wide awake. And I show up to this PED thing, and I'm like, okay, I got to go back to jail. My first healthy fear is that I did not want to go back to jail, but because I was still going that morning, I had accepted that. And I was like, you know what? I'm going back, whatever. This is my life. You know, I had accepted it. I was just hopeless already. And so I was prepared to go back in. All I had to do was sign my name and check in. And then following days as I make phone calls. And so I went home that day, that morning, and I slept for the next 24 hours. And as soon as I woke up on May 26, 2021, I went to my first meeting, finally, and I was done. I was licked. All I knew is I wanted to not drink, and I didn't know how to not drink. So I went to a meeting. I knew that there were solutions in the rooms, and by that time, I was completely licked, and I was willing. I was had that incomprehensible, demoralizing feeling, that impending doom that they talk about in the 12-step program. And I was hopeless. I was this hopeless dope fiend. And I was so tired of my life, and I was tired of being in and out of jail. At that point, I had been in and out of jail like three times or four times for assault, because who I turn into when I drink. I ended up going, and you know, in the 12-step program that I started attending, they suggest going to 90 meetings in 90 days and getting a sponsor and working the 12 steps and getting a home group. And I did those things. I was so desperate for connection in the beginning. I was so crazy. I was so angry. I was so wild. I was just rebellious. I didn't, you know, but I kept showing up. And I went to like 300 meetings in 90 days in my first year, or my first 90 days, and those first 90 days. And you know, I used to be a bar hopper, and now I like to say I'm a meeting hopper. So I got to. I got to experience the AA full on. I didn't start working until about 5 or 6 months sober, and I got to learn how to stay sober through that job. And I got a sponsor. I worked my first set of steps, and I just started to seek a higher power. You know, my first higher power in the 12-step program that we do is we. I got to learn to make the group of drunks, which is what was my GOD in the beginning, right? Just that 12-step group of drunks. Is those were my that was my higher power. That was my first higher power that I believed. I believed that they believed, you know. And I just took, you know, step one. I was, you know, I was powerless over alcohol. I am powerless over alcohol, and my life is unmanageable, and it still can be. And I was just licked. I got tired of the life that I was living before, and my life was just super unmanageable. You know, anything, everything about me was abnormal. Or the life that I had known, I thought was the most normal life. And so that was step one. I was done. And, you know, and step two, came to believe that power greater than me can restore me to sanity. I didn't really care about the steps when I came in. I wanted you to fix me and fix my problems and get me out of these legal stuff and get me back to my daughter and give me shelter and give me, right? Me. And I just came in with this selfish mentality. You know, what can you do to help me? You know, don't you know who I am? Don't you know these problems? You know, you would drink if you were in my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just was, you know, I just applied myself and I kept coming back to every single day. And I went to like multiple meetings. I would go to like 4 meetings a day. You know, as soon as I got transportation, I was running around from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting and did as much service commitment as I could. I mean, I even, in my first year, I was also, you know, very crazy. So my first home group at Glacier Group, I was the chair girl and I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And I would throw chairs around and I would curse and I would I would shoulder check the guys and call them out in the parking lot. And I was crazy, but I kept coming back and I kept suiting up and I kept showing up and I would put on the stupid dress and I would dress up and, you know, and I would greet and make coffee or whatever, you know, I was still willing, even though I had a really nasty attitude and, you know, I kept coming back and I kept coming back and, I finally made 1 year and on May 2022, I think that's when I started to grow. And I went to Hawaii and I made amends to my daughter's dad and stepmom. And I just got super in the middle of recovery up here in the Valley and in Anchorage. And then I went and got in the middle of recovery in Hawaii after my 1 year. You know, now I'm almost 3 years sober. And
wow.
I've just been in the middle of recovery. And I have a sponsor who has a sponsor, and I call her every day, and at least almost every day. And I stay on top of that. I have a higher power, you know, these 12 steps in this program is so important, and to have that higher power and to have that recovery support. That's, you know, this is what it's like right now is, I have this newfound freedom, this freedom of bondage from self, right? From that selfishness, because I am self-centered, selfish, self-centered to the core. And this program, you know, this program and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, it's a new way of living. It's basically a design for a new living. It is a new way of life. And I'm very grateful today. You know, that's gratitude and being grateful was never part of my vocabulary growing up. I didn't have a voice growing up. I just knew that alcohol was that solution to everything for me to learn how to speak up and to talk and or to sing or to dance or to move, you know, to work and to be motivated. You know, alcohol was the solution to all of that. And today, you know, that I have that voice today. I have that motivation, that ability to move around and to do things and to stay afloat in the day-to-day life, right? Life on life's terms. And my higher power, who I choose to call Jesus today, you know, I never grew up with that higher power. But I learned to seek that higher power in the program. And I came to a belief of my own through this program. And with the help of a higher power and sponsorship and 12 steps and my brothers and sisters in recovery, I'm able to take it just one day at a time. That's all we have, right? It's a 24-hour program.
Mm-hmm.
And just for today, from pillow to pillow, right? God, help me stay sober just for today on the beginning of the day. And then God, thank you for helping me stay sober just for today at the end of the day. And, you know, and getting out there, like it's trust God, clean house and help others, right? And I'm just learning how to help others today. I'm learning it's not about me anymore. It's about that next still suffering alcoholic out there who wants a better way of life. I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to live like that again. I don't ever want to be homeless. I don't ever want to be starving. I don't ever want to go back to jail. I don't ever want to be broke and just pitiful and mad at the world and so closed-minded. You know, today I get to be honest, open-minded, and willing. And that willingness is the key to a better way of life. And, you know, and that I've come a long way from that little village girl, you know, because I didn't grow up with communication. I didn't grow up with love. I didn't grow up with any, like, that was, you know, the normal life was pain and suffering. Like, all I grew up with was pain and suffering. And there's definitely a testimony to what my higher power has done in my life today and in the 12-step program. Yeah, I mean, you know, right now, even in recovery, me walking into my third year of sobriety enhanced your spiritual life. And if you don't, you know, apply your 12 steps and stay in the middle of your recovery, you know, you still can make mistakes and it can still affect you. And you know, the only thing that the program teaches us is the only thing that between you and that next drink is your higher power, right? So I have to learn how to enhance my spiritual life every day, just for today. You know, I don't want to ever have to feel like I need to pick up a drink to have that as a solution today. I have my daughter, my 12-year-old daughter. She's 12 now, and she's still in Hawaii with her dad, and I'm up here, you know, because God has blessed me with opportunities, the benefits, and the resources as an Alaska Native. So I'm getting trainings done, you know, because I can't seem to support myself down there, and if I can't support myself, I can't support her. Right. And so the beauty of this program is I get to learn how to step back from my mommy duties and take care of myself. And I just feel more supported up here in Alaska right now. And especially in my recovery community, I've got all my big brothers and sisters who are willing to help me in a time of need. I believe that, you know, as I'm preparing for a stable, you know, life, and getting the right tools under my belt, I'll be able to, you know, provide a home for my daughter and a stable, reliable vehicle for her and a safe mom, right? I want to make sure that I'm a safe, trustworthy, reliable mom. And I know that she's older now, but I still have that hope and I still have that chance, you know, to make that change. And, so it's just for today, right? I don't know if I answered any of the questions that you had set out for me, but go ahead. I don't know. Yeah. Just one day at a time, you know, I plan on reuniting with my daughter again, but for now I'm just trudging it. Right. And trudge means to walk with purpose. And I'm just doing that just for today.
Wow. Amazing. Lynette Guyana, for sharing your story.
And Dogarin, which is thank you in Dagenog.
Well, that's all for today's show. I hope you, the listeners, found some inspiration, strength, and hope. Listen next week when I have another strong, courageous person on who's walking with us on this healing journey. This program is available as a podcast. You can hear this and many more episodes wherever you listen to podcasts or at anonymouseskimo.com. Join the Anonymous Eskimo Project Fridays at 3 p.m. on 90.9 FM KWRK, serving Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm your host, Ralph Sara. Biura!
Native Voice 1, the Native American Radio Network.